The topic that I will give today is the burning, shining light of the Christian. The burning, shining light of the Christian. As we are approaching to a new year, 2007, very soon there will be darkness. And after darkness, there will be light. And here we are. This world that is full of darkness, we are the light of the world. And just before Jesus came, there was so much darkness, and suddenly the light came. Christians are to be a shining light in a dark world. I'm not talking the outward light. There are many people who are called themselves Christians. But if they don't tell that they are Christian, no one knows that they are Christians. And because they don't have, outwardly, we can carry a Bible and show that we are Christians. Maybe that's the only way that somebody knows that we are a Christian. But we are talking, when you talk about the light shining, it is the inward light that is shining. It is people that are going to see Christ in us. Some people may not be able to tell them the Bible about what's in the Bible. But the only Bible they can read is your behavior, your conduct. So, the newborn Christian, if you're really newborn, in a sense, if you're born again, then your conduct will prove that you're a Christian. But there are so many so-called Christians, they are only by name, they say they are Christians, but their conduct doesn't prove that they are Christians. As where Jesus said, by your fruits they will know who you are. Okay? So the true born-again Christian has that natural light in him. Because God is called what? He's the light. God is called light. And the true born-again Christians, we can partake with that divine light. Okay? We are partakers of God's divine light. We are partakers of God's divinity. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, 2 Peter 1, 3 says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. So here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 3 says, His God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to what? To life and godliness. Through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. So we are partakers of God's light. That's why we are called also the children of the light. Now, I'm going to show a character in the Bible where he was called the burning and the shining light. Okay? He was called a burning and a shining light. And he was one of the greatest prophets in the Bible. And he was called a burning and a shining light. And I'm going to see why he was called a burning and a shining light. The reason. Then I'm going to see if he's called a burning and a shining light for this reason, then how we can be a burning and a shining light. Taking his example. Anybody can even give it a guess who that person is? Very good. John the Baptist. In John chapter 5, verse 35, Jesus said, John chapter 5, verse 35, Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 35, and I'm going to read here. Let's go a little bit further, so you know it's John the Baptist here. Verse 32. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Verse 34 says, not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. Now, verse 35, talking about John. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. That's the text I'm going to take. He was a burning and a shining light. Now, why was John called a burning and a shining light? You cannot, if you put up a lamp in a bright sunshine, absolutely beautiful, bright sunshine. Is anybody going to see that light? No. Because there is already bright sunshine. It's the sun is dazzling, beauty, sunshine, great, hot day. Put a little lamp there, nobody's going to see that. But if you put a light in darkness, wow, everybody's going to see that. If there's full darkness, only that light, everybody's going to see that. Now, speaking about John in that manner, he was a light to the church of Israel. Why? He revealed the mind of God to the church of Israel when the Israel, they were in darkness for so many, many years. There was a time of darkness where the prophets did not talk. They did not reveal the mind of God. There was total darkness. Suddenly, there was a light. So John is called a bright, a burning, shining light. And what did he do? He came, he introduced, he was the day spring. The dawning of the gospel came through John. Okay, and he gave the light of God to man. And he came to bear the true light, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And also he came to show the people the knowledge of salvation. And that knowledge of salvation comes through Jesus Christ. That's why John is called a bright, a burning, shining light. What did the light do? The light gives us the way. Shows us the way. Where to go. If there are no lights during night time and your car doesn't have lights, you don't know where you're going. Your car, in the night time when you want to go somewhere, the lights come on and you know where you're going. So here, John is called a burning, a bright, shining light because he showed us where to go. He directed us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 76 to 79, Luke 1, 76 to 79, says here, and you child, this is Zechariah, his father, declares that his circumcision, okay? And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. And you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That's exactly what John did, right? He's a light. He's the one that guides us to the Lord Jesus Christ. People were in darkness. Suddenly, John came. After so many years of darkness, a light appeared. No wonder he's called one of the greatest prophets who ever lived. But nothing, no more than John the Baptist. John was a burning light. Burning light. Why was he called a burning light? Because he was full of the Spirit. He was filled in the Holy Spirit. When you are full of the Spirit, you are burning all the time. And he was fervent in piety and holiness. He filled in the Spirit from his mother's womb. Having his heart warm, he was inflamed with a great, great love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, John chapter 3, verse 29, John chapter 3:29 says, "The one who has the bride is a bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete." Wow! John was so exceedingly joyful for the Lord Jesus Christ. His joy is complete. He must increase and I must decrease. Now, another thing of a burning, shining light is if somebody is very popular today, from a perspective of the world, or become so famous, they might say, he's a burning, shining light. As from a perspective of the world. But John, on the other hand, he warned the people of the day of wrath that is going to come. And he said, the axe was laid at the root of the tree, and that every tree that brought not fruit, good fruit, should be cut down and cast into the fire, that he would thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner and burn the chaff and in unquenchable fire. And here, John is telling the people the wrath of God that is going to come. And the people who are kind of just easygoing type people are that religious day, not producing any fruits, they are going to be cut down, and cast into the unquenchable fire. The axe is almost at the root. It's called what? A bright light. From a worldly perspective, oh, we don't want to listen to that. That's preacher from hell and brimstone and fire. We don't want to listen to that. That kind of preaching we don't want. We want somebody who says, oh, God loves you and things like that and gives a bear hug. And, you know, John didn't come that way. Now, it's okay, you know, God will forgive you, you know, just read the Bible. No. John the Baptist was not only he was a burning light for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a burning light for God because he didn't come to reveal his will, but he came to reveal the will of God to man. Our will is, it's easy. Our will, we don't want to hurt people. But God's will is, that's the right one, the true one. John the Baptist was not only a burning light, but a shining light. Because why was he a shining light? Because he was able to show the gospel in the most clearest manner as he was able to point to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. Because all the other prophets, they were able to see things in a dimly. They couldn't see that clearly because Christ was not there. But John's time, Christ is already there. So he was able to point to Christ, the Redeemer, the Lamb of God that takes the sins of the world. And so John was able to clearly show the dawning of the gospel. In Jesus' first coming, John introduced the true light. Right? He introduced the true light in Jesus' first coming. Because Jesus is the light of the world. He is the true light. And John was just a burning and a shining light that paved the way to the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Jesus' second coming, He's coming back again. If Jesus, now how is He going to apply this to us? That's what I'm going to show you now. In Jesus' second coming, true Christians will be like John the Baptist. That's why Jesus called us, what? The light of the world. The salt of the earth. That we are the shining light to show the way to the people who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, show the salvation to the people. Because we are the light. You understand? We are the burning, shining light to the world as a witness. As we go and witness to people, we evangelize people, telling the people to repent of their sins and tell the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The true gospel is, first we need to let the people know the bad news. Huh? What is the bad news? The wrath of God is going to come. And how can you flee from the wrath of God? People need to be convicted of their sins before they repent. And if you tell everybody, you know, hug and kiss and everybody like that, there's no conviction of sin. They need to be convicted of sin. Remember when Peter, when he preached the gospel out of the Pentecost, they were pierced to the heart. How can you be pierced to the heart without conviction? There has to be conviction first. So, in the same way, we need to let the people know that the wrath of God is going to come. His judgment is going to come. We need to let them know that there's a lake of fire. There's hell. And we need to tell the truth. That's in the Bible. Jesus spoke more on hell than heaven. And then when people are convicted of their sins, whether God can awaken their souls because they're their sins and they cannot sleep, and then they will repent of their sins. That is true godly repentance. Not telling people have like entertainment and things like that. Raise your hand, come forward, I'll say a prayer. Not that way. You know, a lot of people come that way, and that's an emotional kind. But there's a lot of people, they don't have that true godly repentance. What we need is to show the people the true godly repentance. And then, then show the people the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord also told us that you are the light of the world. What did He say? Let your light shine before who? Before men. So if you are the light of the world, let it shine before men. So we need to be like John, a burning, shining light. And our goal is what? To point people, the light is there, so people can see the Lord Jesus Christ. Light is there so they can see the way to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our goal. Our goal is to witness, to plant the seed. Only God can save them. But we are just the light. And to witness, to plant the seed, and to make disciples, and teach them all what the Lord has taught us. Okay? Whatever the Lord has taught us, and we are to use whatever He has taught us to teach others. That's why, since when I was 25 years ago, when I became a Christian, I always had a notebook. I write everything on the notebook. And at the end, my notes became a bunch of files, you know, packed. And there's still, some of them are still there with me. Because it helps me a lot. Because if I don't write it, I forget. Easy, I forget. And so I, when we, so when the preacher is preaching, I was very serious. Because it's the Word of God. It's the Holy Word of God. And I'm so excited. So I, everything listen, say, I read and write and I check. So that's the way we make disciples and teach all what the Lord has taught us. Now how can we be a burning light? That's the question. That's, I'm going to get into the root of it. The root of it, how can we be a burning? Who wants to be a burning light and a shining light for 2007? Because everybody wants to be, right? So how, can I tell you how you can be a burning and a shining light? No. Yes. I'd love to hear. Okay. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 says, 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Okay. Now, the most important thing for us to be, for us to have a burning light is that we should walk in the light as He is in the light. You cannot have a burning light on your own. You understand? The light comes from the Son of Righteousness. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. God is called the light. He's the Son of Righteousness. And His light gives us the light. Illuminate us. So that's, but for us to have that light, we got to be in the light. In His light. Then we can have fellowship with one another. Not fellowship one another with us, but also the main thing is to have a fellowship with God, with the Lord Jesus. John the Baptist had a beautiful fellowship with the Lord. For us to be a burning light, shining light, we need to have a true fellowship with God. It is living in Christ that gives a burning light. We need to live in Christ. Our light is our life should be always lit in Christ. Doesn't mean that when you come to church, you put on your switch and say, I'm a light now. And when you go after church, when you go finish church, you turn off the light and say, now I have turned off my light so I can do anything I want to in the world, enjoy and so forth like that. That's not a Christian. You are not living in Christ. You just came to church and said you are alive. So you are deceiving yourself. So the light comes from the great light, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is our goal? Is to reveal the will of God to the people. Just like John. Tell the truth. But tell the truth in a loving manner. Love it. And tell the truth. Not our will, but God's will. Telling the truth is not shaping up, not kind of shape up the truth according to what you think. No. Like somebody said that we are like a waiter. God has prepared the food. This is it. And our job is to just bring the food, not to add anything to it. Not to take away something out of it. Not to put our ideas into that. Not to put our opinions into the scriptures. Not to twist the scriptures. Just tell as it is. That's our job. That is telling the will of God to the people. This is the true light. Just like John. And also, think about John. John the Baptist came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by he came in the spirit and the power of Elijah? What did Elijah do? Elijah exposed the corruption and the apostasy of Israel at that time. And John the Baptist too, what did he do? He exposed the sin and the wickedness of the Jews at that time, at that day. John did not, he was not scared or frightened to call the Sadducees and the Pharisees, what did he say? A generation of vipers? Huh? Who would? Now today somebody, a pastor would tell some people, a generation of vipers, you think he's going to be very popular? It's not going to be a burning light from the perspective of the world. But John is called a bright and a shining light because he told the truth just as it is. Because he exposed, what did he do when a surgeon goes to do a surgery, remove a cancer? He's not going to, is he going to tell, everything is going to be okay? No, he's going to say, you have cancer, I've got to take a knife. And to do a surgery, you've got to tell the truth. Otherwise that person is going to die. So, in the same way, here he was bold to tell the truth because he was a shining light. In the same way, we need to be bold to tell the truth. Then we become a shining light. Don't get scared of people think, what other person think, what the next person think. Don't. You got to tell the truth in boldness. The true Christians will not compromise the truth. They will expose the sin of this age with boldness. We need to expose the sin of this age with boldness. John was not scared to expose the wicked sins of Herod, of his evil sins, right? No. Of course, his head was cut off for that. But what profit of that? Jesus said, don't be scared of anybody who can, what? Destroy this body. But the soul. And the other thing is, John the Baptist, he gave glory to God. He gave glory to God. He said, he must increase that I must decrease. This should be our new character in Jesus Christ. The words we say, the life we live, and how we behave should give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are a burning light and we have a true fellowship with God the Father. And our motive in everyday life, our motive should be what? To give glory to God, whatever we do. That God will be glorified. Remember, the Father said in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, this is my beloved Son who, no, in the book of New Testament, okay? Remember when Jesus came to be baptized, he said, this is my beloved Son whom I am well pleased. But also in the book of Isaiah, the word of God says, it pleased him to bruise his Son. In the New Testament, he says what? When he came to be baptized, he says that, this is my beloved Son whom I am well pleased. But also, please God to bruise his Son. Now, who would be pleased to bruise his Son? Wait a minute. How can you understand that? How can God have pleasure in bruising his only begotten Son? How can we explain that? How can we understand that? How did he have that pleasure? What does it mean? It pleased him to bruise the divine pleasure to bruise his Son.
Well,
think about it. If God, in His decree, did not bruise His Son, if when the Son was hung on the cross, when the nails, He was hung on the cross, and when they nailed Him, and Jesus said what? My God, why Thou have forsaken Me? Was God very pleasurable? He was pleased to bruise His Son? And Jesus said, why have Thou forsaken Me? The Bible also says that Jesus came from the only begotten of the Father. He was at the bosom of the Father. He has known, made the Father known to us. At the very bosom of the Father. And they had an intimate fellowship. Their love cannot be broken. And they had this intimate fellowship with each other. They had never had always that love has been together from the very beginning. And they were never had any separation. The only time where there was a separation was when God the Father at the cross poured your sins, my sins. All our sins were poured upon the Lord Jesus Christ. At that time, God the Father could not look at His Son. Then Jesus, at that time, Jesus said, why Thou have forsaken Me? Because all our sins was poured upon Him. The punishment, the fierceness of the wrath of God was poured on the righteousness and the holy Lord Jesus Christ. Yet the Bible says, it pleased Him to bruise Him. Why? Bible also says that because of His offspring will come much satisfaction to the Lord as His offspring will blossom. That you and I and many have come to the Lord because of that one sacrifice. One sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ. Where will you and I be here today if not for the Lord's salvation? People who are drunkards, drug addicts, thieves, adulterers, murderers, I mean hypocrites, they all, these people were total sinners. And they have become saints in the Lord Jesus Christ because of His death sacrifice. Now God the Father, we are called the children of God. What manner of love is this, John said? Huh? What manner of love is this? So, see the outcome. It pleased the Father at that time. But there was a sacrifice for you. And that sacrifice was not easy. To create this world, how did God create this world? He just spoke the word. And out of nothing, it just came being, right? That's the power of God. But to recreate you and me, was it that easy? No. It wasn't that easy. He had to shed His own Son's blood. John the Baptist was filled in the Holy Spirit, and he was called a shining light. Now that you are a Christian, are you filled in the Holy Spirit? Are you filled in the Holy Ghost? Or are you filled in the worldly spirit? The satanic spirit. There are only two spirits, okay? Either you are. You have the Holy Spirit in you, or you have the satanic spirit in you. There's nothing in between. The people who are filled in the Holy Spirit, their affection is set on Christ. Because they are filled in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is holy. And their affection is on the Holy Father. Holy God. Christ is their treasure. And they treasure Christ in their hearts. The treasures of this world and the pleasures of this world become dim in the light of Christ. If you have a burning, shining light, all the worldly beauties of the world and the grandeurs of the world and the pleasures of the world becomes dim. And they can be the beauty lights of the world, but they become so dim in the light of Christ. And John the Baptist had a fervent spirit in holiness. The burning light is a heavenly light. It's not a regular light, it's a heavenly light. It's not the light of the stars of the Hollywood stars. The outward beauty is found in Hollywood. That's the outward, everything outward, glamour and the beauty and everything what you can find is found in the Hollywood stars, okay? But the inward beauty is found in the saints of God. That's the true beauty. That's the true purity. That's true holiness. It's only, you know, only a pure diamond that sparkles in the purity of His holiness. It's like a pure diamond always, it sparkles, right? It's beauty, it sparkles all the time. And in the same way, the purity of holiness in the Christian, it sparkles and gives light to the world. Holiness is our pleasure. That should be. And purity should be our delight. We should delight in holiness, in love and goodness and mercy. John the Baptist was a burning, shining light because he was inflamed with love for the Lord Jesus Christ. In the same way, Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him and will come to me and make our home. If you love me, you will keep my commandments," Jesus said. John the Baptist was a burning, shining light. He came to the people. He talked to the people. He told them who they were. He told the people to repent. In the same way, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but understand and give light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Now, that's how we should be. You know, we cannot be lights, God's light, only in the church. In the church, we are the light of the world, and we can say, "Oh, we are Christians." No, that's not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying a light cannot be hidden. It should be seen by other people. It should be shown to other people. It's be seen by other people. That means your unbelievers, friends around you. Or whenever you go on the street, on the market, how you drive, or whatever it be, wherever you are, out there in the world, they should see you and I as a different person. As we are different. The way we talk, the way we talk, with kind words, with compassionate words, with salted, that's the way the Bible says, with graciousness. People should see graciousness, the way we conduct and how we talk to other people. Not getting mad, upset, people in the world, they call that all the time. They don't see a light then. Remember, fellowship with the Father is the most important thing. If we got to be in God, as He is the light, we need to walk in the light. Remember, the true people in the New Testament, Luke 24, the Emmaus Road, the two disciples walking, and when Jesus suddenly, they were so, their faces cast down because they saw how Jesus was crucified, and suddenly Jesus came in the midst of them and opened their minds and revealed what was read, what was said in the Word of God, and after that, suddenly Jesus, their minds were opened when Jesus began to pray. When Jesus disappeared, what did they say? They said, did not our hearts burn with us while He talked to us on the road, while He opened to us the Scriptures? Their hearts were burned. And we are called what? A burning, shining light. How can our hearts burn? Only if you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Their hearts were burned as long as they were in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, our hearts should burn. Remember, in John chapter 15, what does Jesus say in John chapter 15? Always told what? To abide in Him, right? Unless you abide in Him, we can't produce any fruits. Nothing. So we need to abide in Him. Our hearts will burn for Him. And He will be a shining light to the world if we abide in Him. So the fellowship with God is important. Fellowship brings what? Likeness. Usually you fellowship with people, one another, they have friends because they are likable. They have something in common. They agree in things. That's why they have fellowship. In the same way, we have fellowship with the Father through Christ Jesus Christ. Because why? Because we have the likeness. Because we are partakers of His divine nature. There is a likeness between Christ and us. Jesus, He is Christ. And we are called the children of God. So there is a likeness. He is the light. And we are called the light of the world. There is a likeness there. You understand? That's why we have fellowship. Right? There is a likeness. There is an agreement there. John the Baptist and Jesus, they had a likeness. They loved each other. John the Baptist was called a burning and a shining light. He revealed the will of God to the people who was living in darkness at that time. In the same way, there is darkness of sin today. If you look at it, there is darkness of sin in this world. There is a sin of entertainment, sin of adultery, sin of immorality, sin of filthiness, sin of apostasy, sin of hypocrisy, sin of idolatry, sin of covetousness, sin of selfishness, sin of greed, sin of loving this world, sin of too much food, sin of wasting food, sin of not content, sin of no time for the Lord, sin of prayerlessness, sin of not reading the Word, sin of not living not living for Christ, sin of not evangelizing, sin of not doing anything for the Lord. So how can you say that you are a burning and shining light? We cannot be a light on Sunday only. We need to be the light to the world. Let our light shine before the world. The Lord, who is the Son of Righteousness, will give us the light to shine. The world in 2007 is not going to get better. I can tell you that. It's going to get worse. As the world is going to get darker and darker, the cults are growing in big numbers. There's apostasy everywhere. The worldly gospel of entertainment is preached everywhere. Every time you listen in the news, it's bad news. And it's news is getting worse and worse as the days go by. And every day we hear all these things that we cannot even, unbelievable things happening. And Satan is working 24 hours a day, devouring souls to hell. And the worst thing is that the Christians are sleeping soundly with sound doctrine. Brethren, let us not sleep. In such times as these, if we do continue to sleep and slumber, a curse might fall upon us. Let's pray.